614 Startups Nation, welcome to another episode of the 614 Startups Podcast. My name is Elio Harmon. My mission is to help you attract the clients and access the capital you need to build your dream business. Like a good guest, wipe your feet at the door by hitting the subscribe button and come on in. Today, we are going to be talking about student loans, and I'm going to be hanging out with one of my favorite founders, Naveed Iqbal, who is working on getting you to a zero balance. So, a special welcome for the second time to my African brother, Naveed. What's up, man?
Hey, thank you so much, Elio. I'm so happy to be back. I'm a big fan of you and of the 614 Startups community. I get a lot of value from your podcast and from your articles.
So listen, man, flattery won't keep you away from the hard questions, all right? We're going to figure this thing out. No, I appreciate that, man. You've always been a big supporter of the show from day one, so I appreciate that. All right, the folks here have told me, listen, Elio, what with all this banter? We don't want to hear all that. Get to the meat and potatoes, all right? So you've been on the show before. If you guys want the full download on Dollar, we're going to include the link to the first episode that Naveed and I did together in the comments or in the description. But right now, Naveed, please bring us up to speed on Dollar. What's the problem? What's your solution? And kind of where you are in the business today.
Yeah, I'd love that. So here's the problem. The problem is that people can't pay off their student loans by themselves. They don't have enough money. And it's just, that's what it comes down to. The biggest problem is that they don't have enough money. And when we look around and we say, okay, like this is a huge financial burden for millions of people. What other financial burdens do people carry? And how are they solving those? You realize that there's a collaborative solution for almost every other major financial burden, right? Like, I can invest with my partner. I can pay my bills with my friends. I can do all. I can save for college with my community of family and friends. But I can't. I don't have a collaborative solution to student loan repayment, right? And so we thought about it from two perspectives. So we're going to the solution here. Is that the two perspectives? One is let's find more ways to get people money for their student loan payments. And two, let's do this so that we're building a community of collaboration, right? So I can sign up to pay my loans and I can bring others who have an incentive to help me to my community as well, right? So we're turning the problem into you can think about it like a single player mode versus a multiplayer mode where you're beating your debt in community. Things are going swimmingly. I think the last three years, was a little bit rocky just because of the headwinds we were building in, right? There was a lot of talk around student loan forgiveness. A lot of people didn't understand what that really meant. It went all the way to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court disallowed it. And so that created more commotion because people expected it was happening, right? People had already started making financial decisions based on the fact that they expected their student loans to be forgiven. And what a disappointment, right? Like how jarring, just imagine, right? Like our finances are some of the most emotional and personal things we have. And when we it's not only hope, right? Like now we say, oh, it's happened. The president said my loans are forgiven. I got an email from the Department of Education telling me do XYZ and it's done. And then that all goes away. That put people in a really, really awkward situation. And so we're very fortunate, I think, that we're in a position where we can really help people understand where they're at with their student loans and really make a difference by giving them what they need. They don't need more advice. They don't need more people telling them you have to budget or do all of these. What they need is money. And so we're really happy that we can connect them with that.
Yeah, man. And every time you hear the president said or a politician said, you know, don't change your plans, right? There's so much uncertainty right now in anything that has to do or any market or any industry being impacted by political decision making right now. And so, like you said, you are building in the headwinds. You guys are figuring it out. And I think there's a slight tweak here between our first conversation and this conversation, which is that you're multiplayer mode. And if I remember correctly, the other player you could play with was your employer, but it sounds like you could play with more players this time around. Am I right about that?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. So the employer has been the core of our go-to-market strategy, right? Like, so when I say, you know, collaborators, we mean people who have a clear incentive. You don't just join a team with somebody because, you know, like everybody's trying to win here. And so companies have a very clear incentive to help people with their student loans because from the beginning of time, companies have been finding ways to attract better talent, to retain their amazing talent. And one thing that gets forgotten is to engage their existing teams, right? Like an engaged workforce is a happy workforce. Happy people bring others and stay longer, right? So if you have a happy workforce, you're solving all of your problems. And you know, the largest financial burden for millions of employees is their student loan debt, right? Like, and financial stress is one of the biggest killers of productivity at work. And so the employer certainly is a big part of how we've gone to market. We're very, very excited about that. We have, I have to pinch myself every time I say this out loud, but we have 100% retention across our customer base, which is legendary, right? Like over 3 years of time, our customers have stuck with us. They haven't said, oh, I don't like this product anymore, or it's too expensive or anything like that. In fact, it's quite the contrary. We see people increasing the size of their programs, right? In terms of both, like, I'm going to give you extra money per month for your student loans. I'm going to make the program available to more people in my company just because they see the impact, right? And that's the best way to grow a business, is not going and saying, hey, I'm going to try to upsell you a few more seats, but letting the customer come to you and say, you know what, this thing actually does what you said it would do, and I want to like grow the size of the program. So very, very excited about that. So second player that gets involved now is another company, another group of folks who have an incentive are national retail brands, right? So everybody, you know, to think about Under Armour, for instance, is a partner. They, all of these folks want to sell exactly to the demographic that we serve. Generally, it's people between the ages of 18 to 35. And then there's a different category that they target 35 plus, right? So they're looking at different demographics there. And we give them the opportunity to do that by reframing their discounts and offers as cashback paid directly to student loans. So, you know, I'll give you an example of how it works. Somebody comes to Dollar, creates an account, then they connect their debit or credit cards. And then we kind of want them to forget they've done that, right? So they don't have to remember, oh, we've got partnerships with this brand or that brand. They don't have to remember. They just have to go about living their lives. And so when they go to one of our partners and they swipe that card that they connected to Dollar, we receive a real-time notification from the card networks. It says, hey, Elio just bought pants at Under Armour and he's earned $2 cash back for his purchase. Then we coordinate with the brands, they send us the money, and we make a payment directly to your loans. So you're not doing any extra work. You're not changing how you live or how you shop. You're building better affinity with the brand that's helping you beat your largest financial burden. And so that's like been really exciting to grow. We have over 130 national retail brands who are partnered with us today. And so, you know, like you mentioned, I'm African. My co-founders are also African, as it happens. And for us, community was a big part of how we paid for college, right? Our parents, our grandparents, our extended families, our neighbors, everybody helped get us through college because they knew that, look, we've sent our eldest sons, we just happen to be the eldest sons, thousands of miles across the ocean to build a better life. And we're going to try to do everything to get them educated so then they can continue to support themselves, right? And said, why don't we make this also available to the folks that are in our community at Dollar? And so you can invite your partner, your parents, your grandparents. They come to Dollar. It's completely free. They just have to connect their cards. And when they shop, any cashback they earn gets paid to your student loans as well.
Listen, Navid, it keeps getting more interesting with this company because I love the employer idea, but I love the retail connection even more because it's such a low barrier to activation, right? With an employer, they update benefits only once a year. You have to sell into that company. It's like a barrage, right? I imagine the benefits coordinator at a large employer has like, you know, I'll drop a few names, Omada, Hinge, Teladoc, everybody wanting to make sure if they're not a current customer, they become one, or if they are, they stay one. And so when you are working with employers, I know that's such a big, long sales cycle. What have you learned as a founder selling into a buyer like that with such a long sales cycle? What are some of the lessons that people who might be selling to other HR managers can take from you, any startup founders that might be listening? What are some lessons learned?
This episode is brought to you by Rev1. Rev1's mission is to help entrepreneurs build great companies. As you navigate the waters of business entrepreneurship, you don't have to go it alone. A strategic partnership with Rev1 connects innovators to the talent, customers, space, and funding you need when you need it. Get started with Rev1 Startup Studio by visiting rev1ventures.com to learn more. Again, the website is rev1ventures.com. Support for the 614 Startups podcast comes from Nationwide. Nationwide's mission is to protect people, businesses, and futures with extraordinary care. To help fulfill that mission, Nationwide is looking to invest its $350 million venture capital investment fund in InsurTechs that will help them create new and exciting products and solutions to meet the needs of their customers. If you're interested in partnering with Nationwide's venture capital team, visit nationwideventures.com to learn more. Again, the website is nationwideventures.com. Nationwide is on your side.
The most important lesson for me was to have empathy for this person. The person who's trying to buy a dollar, who's trying to take a meeting with us, or who's receiving an email from us, they are usually some of the most overworked and underappreciated people at these companies, right? Like the anything goes wrong, HR gets the call first, right? And then they're also tasked with like, oh, we're not recruiting enough. What's HR doing about it? Oh, our retention sucks. What's HR doing about it? And so they have so many problems. And so having a lot of empathy for their role and how they're navigating their day to day is a big part of you know, the lessons that I've learned over time. Another one is that, like you mentioned, a lot of the companies you mentioned, everybody promises sort of the same thing. We're going to help you retain more. We're going to help you recruit more. We're going to help you, you know, do those things. You start the emails like, we're going to increase your retention by X percent or whatever. And so understanding that everybody's making the same promise, and so it can be very difficult for that one individual human being who has all of these things going on to see, to cut through the noise and say, okay, everybody's promising me the same thing. Surely not all of them are going to produce those results. Which is the one that actually matters? And so understanding how to frame that to the person so they understand, okay, will this thing actually work? And another thing is, you know, one thing I don't think we talk about enough is most B2B buyers have never bought the thing you're selling them before. Right? How many times in your life as an HR person do you buy a 401k? Maybe once. Like, how many times are you buying your payroll system? Maybe once, right? Or as you grow, maybe you upgrade to a different version or whatever. It's very different. And so thinking about how to help them make a buying decision is also extremely, like, one of the big lessons we've taken away is, like, how do we help this person actually understand how to evaluate us, right? How are they going to go through their process by themselves internally? Because we sell them, they have to go and sell their team, right? Like, the internal sale is always much harder. And you have to equip this person with all of the tools that they need, all of the data that they need, all of the confidence that they need to go and actually, like, champion for you, right? You look at any sales material out there, it's like, oh yeah, identify your champion, blah, blah. What happens is people find a champion and then put everything on top of them. Be like, okay, now you've said you like it, now you go and do all of the work. Lesson I learned, and we've done that too, right? I've done that too. Lesson I learned is that we're doing them such a disservice by just sending them off by themselves, right? Like, how would you, like, we're telling them we're part of a team organization and then we're not on their team when they're going to do that hard work. So, you know, just understanding that when you call somebody your champion, you have to treat them like they're on your team and you have to give them the tools and support they need to go and sell on your behalf, because that's what they're doing. You know, I'll say one more thing that I'm very proud about. You've mentioned these long sales cycles, and it's certainly the case, but I'm very proud that at Dollar, for customers, for companies who are like 250 to 500 employees, our sales cycle average is about 30 days. It's baller, man. But, you know, we didn't get there. It's not an accident, or we didn't get lucky. We made a lot of mistakes, not understanding the people we're selling to, not understanding that they don't know how to buy this thing, not understanding how their process works, putting a lot of the work on top of them. And so, you know, taking that humility and saying, this person wants this thing. I know this person needs this thing. How can I best support them to get them there? It produces remarkable results.
Yeah. So guys, in the link, we're going to drop that Dollar website right now, right? So whether it's with your company or not, you could take advantage of getting that cash back to pay off your loan simply by clicking that link and registering your card. So don't hesitate. I know a lot of you drop off after like 15 minutes. We want to save you some money right now, okay? So do it right now. Pause the podcast. Register at dollar.com. Come back and finish this conversation. So like you said, there are a lot of things changing in the world of student loans. Probably the biggest bombshell, or at least it feels like one, is you actually have to pay your student loans back, right? So what's happening in the world of student loans right now, and how is that impacting borrowers?
It's really crazy. People are just coming to terms with what a monthly student loan payment means to them. 40% of people missed their first payment, right? Student loan payments resumed in October of 23. 40% of the borrowers did not make their first payment. Not because they're lazy, not because they forgot, not because they didn't know. They just didn't have the money. It wasn't part of the equation. And so that's, we're seeing a lot of activation from that perspective, right? People are realizing, oh, shoot, I actually have to take control of my finances. They know that, you know, complaining or doing things like that, it's not going to work, because at the end of the day, it's their credit that gets impacted. It's their lives that get impacted. And so in the last month or two, we've had a lot of folks reaching out, asking for support in terms of, you know, how do I get ahead of my payments? What do I do to get set up? Some people have had their loan servicer get changed 5 times in the last 3 years. And so they don't know who has their loans. Like, I have money to pay that. Like, where is my loan? And, you know, that's sort of exacerbated a little bit by some changes. So the Department of Education has mandated some explicit changes to federal student loan servicers and how they operate. And that process has taken a longer time than I think any of us were expecting. And that's causing a bunch of issues for the borrowers in terms of like payments getting posted and getting support and not understanding where to sign in or why things look different. And so we're having to bridge that gap as well.
Yeah, man. You know, it came as a shock to me. I had the, not a shock, but I mean, like, how many times it's likely that your student loan servicer is going to get changed. And in the process, even the servicers had a hard time trying to figure out who their clients were, what mail, what's the process, how do you make it easy for people to pay, and then how, most importantly, do you give people payment options and educate them on that as well. So thank you for giving us the lay of the land on that. Let's talk about your business model, because you're not a philanthropist here. You know, it's not Naveed Carnegie helping us all pay our student loans off, or Naveed Robert Smith paying off everybody's student loans during a commencement address. You have to make money. So what's the business model here? And how is the current state, right, everybody paying their loans, impacting your go-to-market strategy?
So you can think of us as a very transactional company, right? So we charge employers a small percentage of whatever they're contributing every month. We get a small percentage from the brands that we work with for people that shop there. And, you know, that includes the borrower and their families. And so we're just making a little bit of money on top of what we help people pay off in the long term. This resumption of the repayment has really been very interesting for us, right? So we started off as purely a consumer company. We existed for the person with student loans. We still do. How we've gone to market has changed a little bit, right? So we really put all our efforts into the employer benefit that we were selling over the last, you know, two and a half years. But now we're seeing a lot more pull from the consumer side. People have more questions. People want more tools. People want better ways to automate their payments. There's a lot of resistance and distrust. I mean, I think it's even more. People have always distrusted their student loan servicer, but now there's even more of that happening. And, you know, not all of it is the student loan servicer's fault. A lot of it is timing and all of this. And so, but we're seeing a larger pull for that consumer side of things. We're seeing a lot more questions come in from TikTok. A lot of people create accounts from our socials. And they're asking questions very specific, like very specific questions about their student loan servicers, their options for repayment, you know, whether paying off the highest interest rate loan first is actually a good idea, which, yes, it's always a good idea. And so we're developing a few tools to release to the dollar community, within the next month, hopefully, that will really address some of those challenges.
So if I hear you correctly, dollar is free to the borrower because the employer or the brand, the retailer, that's where you make your money. So that's great. Guys, again, another barrier to entry eliminated, right? It's free to you. If your employer is a participating employer, you could get that reimbursement. And then if you shop at a retailer and they're a participating retailer, you could get that reimbursement as well. All right, I want to pivot to something that I get a lot of questions about. Like you get questions about student loans and how to pay them off, I get questions about how to raise capital in Central Ohio. So you've successfully done that. And I know you've been on the grind doing that before your most recent round. But what does it take to raise capital, venture capital in particular, for non-insurance? We know about all the big insurance success stories, fintech company here in Central Ohio. What does it take?
This episode is brought to you by KJK. Tired of the billable hour? KJK has a solution. The KJK GC Advantage program offers businesses comprehensive legal services in the areas of employment, corporate services, real estate, trademark, intellectual property, and estate planning, all for a set monthly fee. KJK serves as their clients' partners in business, not just their lawyers. Along with cost certainty and predictability, the KJK GC Advantage program gives clients peace of mind, knowing their projects will be handled quickly and efficiently, maximizing the return on investment on their legal spend. So don't go it alone. Let KJK help. Learn more by visiting kjk.com.
Hey there, 614 Startups community. We're thrilled to share some exciting news with you. This podcast is proudly supported by Loop, the game changers in return management. Not only are they revolutionizing e-commerce, but they're also on the lookout for talented individuals to join their dynamic team. Looking to be part of a company that values innovation and fosters a vibrant culture? Well, Loop is the place to be. Check out their open positions at loopreturns.com/careers. And here's the scoop. Loop has been recognized by Forbes as one of the next billion-dollar startups of 2023. Want to be part of a success story? Now's your chance. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity. Head over to loopreturns.com/careers and be part of something extraordinary. Loop, where innovation meets success. Apply now.
It was really hard. It was a very, very steep learning curve. And I think a lot of it, nobody intentionally misguides founders, right? Let me just start by saying that. But almost 100% of the stuff you see on Twitter about how to fundraise, what to do, is garbage. It's absolute trash. It's usually people who have never done it, or people who did it once a long time ago, or people who hypothesize how they would do it. Or they come from very different circumstance, right? Like if, just very different circumstance. Like, for example, for me, first time founder, first generation immigrant, I don't have a network. I don't come from a wealthy family. I didn't go to Ivy League. You know, it changes the game a little bit. And the most important thing, at least that I've learned, is that having that belief in yourself and the belief in the problem that you're solving is the most important thing. Right, that's what actually raises funds, is how much you believe in yourself and how much you believe in the problem that you're solving. Some people say, oh, would you do it if you weren't getting paid? I think that's a really silly way to address it, because not all of us have savings or people we can lean on to do that. But it comes close to justifying that. Like, are you really passionate about what you're doing? And you will keep going through the grind, because it's going to take longer. You're going to have fewer people who believe in you. So you have to start with yourself. You have to really believe in yourself. Having said that, I think that our Central Ohio community is actually are treated unfairly from this perspective, right? I think there's a few folks who are very old school in how they go about their, investing in startups, or sometimes just talking about investing in startups and not doing any investing, that give that, and they're maybe like 1% of the population of investors, right? That give the remaining 99% a bad rap. There are incredible people in Central Ohio, angel investors, venture funds, who are doing it for exactly the right reasons, And even if they don't invest, they will tell you why. They will help support you. They're always trying to add value, right? They will introduce you to customers. They will introduce you to other investors. They're not concerned about how they look or they're being a thought leader or like just blasting out on social media and saying, "Oh, I'm so smart. This is how you should do things." They're the quiet ones, right? And so I think taking the time to really find those people who are actually doing the good work is so important. Like not just running to the first shiny object, because they're usually going to end up wasting your time. There's so many amazing angel investors here in Central Ohio, you know, of all creeds, of all backgrounds, that truly believe. Like, you know, I've had one person. I met with him through introduction. 30 minutes, we had coffee. When we left that coffee, he said, "I'm going to wire you 20 grand of his own money." First time, like he believed in me, and he, excuse me, I get emotional sometimes, but he believed in me and he believed in the problem that I was solving. And he did it, right? And there are so many other stories like that that don't get spoken about, right? These people don't want attention. They're not doing it so they can go post on their LinkedIn that today I met a first time generation founder. I gave him 20 grand.
And gave him 20
Yeah,
grand.
you
Yeah.
know, they're doing it for all the right reasons.
Yeah.
And, you know, they don't want to be called out, right? They don't want you to go and say, "Oh, this guy gave me this much money." They're doing it for all the right. And so they exist. Like, you know, if you're feeling it's a hard time, you can't raise money, or everybody's saying no, you're talking to the wrong people. That's what I've realized, is all of the right people are there. You just have to find.
All right, Naveed, we're not going to point out your friend, but you're going to give me his information after we get off air so I could have coffee with him too, because I need 20 grand right about now. But let's talk about those established names in the community, because, you know, one of the things we need to do more of is giving people their flowers. Is there anybody in this process on the investor side of things that you want to give a shout out to that's been part of your process and getting a dollar to where it is today?
Absolutely. The one person who has always stood by me and Dollar and our team is Will Zell at Vessel. What an incredible investor. What an incredible human being. I can't tell you, like, this guy has the things that you read about on Twitter about people, what they do, he doesn't, he actually does those things, right? He's always there. He's the first call I make when we win a big deal. He's the first call I make when I'm like, "Oh, shoot, like, we have a problem." He's always consistently been there and he's always doing the right thing. So I can't be grateful grateful enough to Will Zell, and I would highly recommend anybody who is looking for, you know, great investors to go and check out what they're doing at Vesta.
Yeah, man. A big shout out to Will Zell. Will and Michael Supek of Ohio Angels were just on the show. We just dropped that podcast earlier this week. So if you want to get the backstory, right, of what Naveed is talking about Will, check out that podcast. It's called Ohio Angels with Will Zell and Michael Supek. All right. Naveed, thank you so much, man. I love the work that you're doing. This second conversation has really motivated me to go online to Dollar, get signed up, register my cards, and get to paying down my student loans quicker. But what's next for you, and how can our community support you?
Yeah, so we are continuing to lean into our go-to-market via employers. I think we've learned a lot about how to make it easier for the people buying. So anybody who is interested in offering Dollar to their team, or just learning more about how student loan benefits work, we have a wonderful guide. We're not going to try to be salesy. You can download it directly from our website or reach out to me. I'm Naveed at getdollar.com. I'm happy to help. And if there's anything, you know, if there are any founders out there who are early stage trying to figure things out, please reach out. I'm happy to have a coffee with you or help you in any way I can.
All right, last but not least, man, I'm a big fan of lessons learned. So if you could do it all over again, you know, when I started 614 Startups, I had a hairline, right? If I would have saved my hairline if I could do it all over again. But if you could do it all over again, what would you do differently?
That's such a hard question, and it's such an important question. You learn so many things as a first-time founder that I think no wonder VCs like second-time founders better, right? Like, you've learned all the hard lessons, and it always comes down to, I think, a couple of things. One is people. I think the way I would have constructed my founding team would have been a little bit different, because I had to have some very difficult conversations, and I've lost a couple of friends, people who I called brothers, you know, over this journey, And it's not that they're bad people or we're bad people. It's just it just didn't work out. We weren't. It just wasn't the thing. And so I would put a lot more thought and effort into, you know, who that founding team is, and how we complement each other, and you know, emphasis on making sure that if I'm really good at product, then you know, I get a person who's actually really good at sales, and we can operate sort of independently in that fashion. Second is, I think, I love our investors, especially our angel investors, but I will say that I wish, or if I did this again, I would probably delay fundraising from VC for a longer time. It definitely changes the nature of things. It's a very different mindset. You're not selling to customers. Like, you could sell to customers and be successful all day, but not raise any venture dollars. It's a very different mentality. It's a very different game. And so taking the time to really like immerse yourself in it and understand how it works, what it actually is, you know, what they're actually looking for, because they're a business too. I would have probably spent more time doing that than I have in this venture, at least in the beginning. It's really about those people, right? The founding team and then also the founding investors. We're very lucky with Will Zell and Vessel. He was the very first check into Dollar. But going through this process, especially over the last 2 years where there's Zerp craziness, and then now everybody's like pretending that they've been really, really frugal and intelligent with their investments. It's a roller coaster, and things change all the time. There's a lot of hype. There's a lot of narrative building. And so you just have to be aware of how these things work.
Yeah, well, Naveed, I appreciate you sharing that experience. And so I like to end every podcast, one, with a big thank you to the guests, but two, with my takeaway. And a wise startup founder, if you can, delay raising venture, because like Naveed said, it changes the game. But here's my final word. Don't delay signing up for Dollar. All right. Talk to your employer. That email, benefits@employer.com. Send them an email. Say, hey, have you heard about this Dollar thing? It's a great way to attract and retain employees. Go online, sign up your card, start paying down your balances, because I'm definitely going to do that. And talk about raising capital. Who's going to be your team that's going to help you pay down your student loans? Hopefully you've been nice to that rich auntie or uncle, because now they can participate in your funding round. All right, folks, thank you for joining me on another episode of the 614 Startups Podcast. Until next time, peace.
That's a wrap, folks. You can find this and all our episodes on our website, 614startups.com. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, and all your favorite podcasting platforms. Don't forget to subscribe and write a review. If you'd like updates sent directly to your inbox, you can sign up for our weekly newsletter on the website. To engage in the 614 Startups community, follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at 614 Startups on all platforms, and join the conversation. For sponsorship opportunities and collaborations, email us at info@614startups.com.